Blog Talk Radio.
This is your last chance. After this, there is no turning back.
Real Talk.
Hey, this is Robin Lord Taylor, and you're listening to Real Talk with the Director on Dollhouse Radio.
Hey, what's up? It's Logan Browning, and you're listening to Real Talk with the Director on Dollhouse Radio.
Real Talk.
Hey, I'm Dina Liu, and you're listening to Real Talk with the Director on Dollhouse Radio.
Hi, I'm Diane Franklin from Better Off Dead and Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventures. You're listening to Real Talk with the Director on Dollhouse Radio.
Real Talk.
Hey guys, it's Chrissy DePauw here, and you are listening to Real Talk with the Director on Dollhouse Radio.
Hi, this is Michael Jai White,
Byron Mann
from Black Dynamite. And you're listening to Real Talk with the Director on Dollhouse Radio.
Hey, what's up? This is China Lane. You are listening to Real Talk with the Director on Dollhouse Radio. So keep it locked, keep it hot. Don't go anywhere.
Hi, I'm Vanessa Verduga, a.k.a. Justice Woman, and you're listening to Real Talk with the Director on Dollhouse Radio.
Hey, what's going on? It's your boy Dennis White here on Real Talk with the Director on Dollhouse Radio. Tune in tonight and get the real, the real.
Real Talk.
All I'm offering is the truth, nothing more.
Welcome back again, another Monday. You'll get out a little applause there. That's the theme from The Godfather. Yeah, the best film ever made, The Godfather. Theme in the background was giving me a little background music while I was doing my intro here. Welcome again, everybody, to Real Talk. I'm the Director. And I'll be with you for the next 90 minutes or so. I have my Jedi Council here. They doing their thing. One of them is here at least, and I'm sure they'll both be joining me shortly. Real Talk is brought to you each and every week by Dollhouse Radio, India Morrell. And, of course, broadcasted live via the World Wide Web and blogtalkradio.com. So, this week we're going to talk about top five, and I always make it top five because it makes you think a little more. Your top five gangster / mob films, forget about it. That's the top five gangster / mob films ever, forget about it. And we all know forget about it means that's it. This is the list. So make your list and call it in. Give it over the phone. Come on the air. If you want to get in the chat room and put your list in, I'll try to see if I can get in there and read some of the lists of the chat room if possible. But the bottom line, make this your ultimate top five gangster flicks. Forget about it. I keep saying that because you got to understand. Forget about it. So, with no further ado, We're going to move forward. We're going to go ahead with the weekend recap as normal. At the theater, well, nothing, nowhere near a gangster film. Led off the theater this week, $67 million for Cinderella. Disney just caking up again, as usual. Disney is kind of gangster when you think about it. They're their own gangster. Disney is gangster because they just straight bogart in the industry. They own Marvel. They own Lucas. Like, they see somebody on the come up doing their thing, gotta pay the tithe. Gotta pay. Disney is gangster. They go, you know, they do their thing. Coming in number two is Run All Night. It's the first week. That was the film. It's kind of like a gangster film, but it's, you know, starring Liam Neeson as the same character that he's in every movie. The same guy, in my opinion. He has different names, but he's the same guy that he is in Taken. So, Liam Neeson, Ed Harris, a couple other people in there. That just debuted this weekend at $11 million. And coming in at third is Kingsman, the Secret Service. That's still doing their thing. Will Smith's Focus comes in at number four. And Chappie in at number five with $5 million. So, pretty much this was a Disney weekend. Disney being gangsta as usual, doing what they do. And I'm going to bring in one of my Jedi councilmen. My man Ralph is in the building.
Hello, everybody. I'm going to give you an offer you can't refuse today.
Exactly.
Great show for today.
Perfect. Great show today. Like we said, this is the top five. You got to make sure when you cannot say, this is just like, you know, you got to say it all together. Like my man said, it's like a Tribe Called Quest. You got to say the whole thing. You got to say top five gangster films ever. Forget about it. You got to always say that at the end.
Forget about it.
You got to be forget about it. And, yeah, man, so I know you're ready for this show. You got your list together, right?
Yep, I've been doing research. I've been watching stuff. I've been looking at stuff. I'm ready. I think I got me together. I think my number one going to hit people like, wow, I didn't see that one coming. But I got something.
Well, this is just like last week we had the top five martial arts films. If you missed last week's show, you missed a treat. Go archive it on Dollhouse Radio on blogtalkradio.com. I'll probably, you know, send out some links to that. We talked about the top five martial arts films. And just like last week, this week we're going to get a bunch of different films because there's so many gangster films. And just to clarify for everybody, when I say gangster film, I don't necessarily mean like a gang banging film or street film. Let's get the difference between a gangster film and a street film. Okay.
State property does not count.
Right. State property barely counts as a film, but it's not a gangster film. It's a street film. Minister Society is a street film, in my opinion. It's not a gangster film. Now, New Jack City could count as a gangster film. You know, there's some borderline stuff. Some people look at different ones. You know, borderline is, you know, people say Boys in the Hood is a gangster film. No.
To
me, it's
no.
A street film. It's a street film with a bunch of gangbangers going on. I mean, that, you know, gangster film, I mean, you know, of course, you know, The Untouchables or, you know, Scarface, those type of, and organized crime. That's what we want. We're looking for organized crime, not no street stuff. Really on the cusp of a gangster film It is a gangster film to a degree, but these guys are not really gangsters. They're just criminals. And that's Reservoir Dogs. People are asking me, should that be considered a gangster film? I said, well, I think Pulp Fiction is a gangster film because the main character is a gangster. And, you know, not the main character, but, you know, the whole thing is because of the gangsters, you know, what's his face? I forget his name. I can't think of his name right now, but
Wallace.
Marcellus Wallace. Marcellus Wallace. Played by Ving Rhames.
Ask a question. If we go with that, then is Jackie Brown, in essence, a gangster film too? Because I mean, he was a gun runner.
He was a gun runner. I don't know. I think it's focusing too much on the minion. You know, like, you know. I don't know if I'm going to go with that. You want to tell me something else? You know, like, as much as I love to say it, you know, like, here's another borderline film. People were asking about Heat. I said, well,
That's a
borderline film. I'm wrestling with that one. I'm not sure.
That's a straight up gangster. That's a gangster drama.
It's a gangster drama. But these dudes, I guess they were organized crime, but they were very. But you know, it's like if you call them just a gangster film, then why not call Point Break a gangster film? It's the same thing. They were robbers. They were, you know, robbing banks and stuff, and the guys was chasing them. So it's like, I don't know, to me.
Yeah,
you know,
Point
Break is not a gangster film. It's an action film.
No, but see,
you know what I mean?
The difference between the two of them is that they were an organized crew that was pulling robbery. They needed the whole thing, and you saw them doing, you know, how they case the place. They got the information. They do the job and stuff. Point Break, these guys were just robbing. They were just robbing during the summertime for the hell of it, you know, to break the rules of the man. So that's like saying the Thomas Crown Affair should be considered a gangster movie because the guy was robbing paintings.
Exactly. So that's what I want people to understand. I want all the listeners to understand. A gangster film is not, you know, between a gangster film and a street film, or like a action film or whatever. So, like I said, you know, 646-595-4038. People, you know, want to call in with their lists. We got the chat room open. And if people want to put that in there, go in the chat room and put their list in there, that's what's up. We got, you know, I'll try to read those on the air and stuff. And, yeah, so who's first on the – oh, we got a caller actually calling in to see what they got. All right, 352 area code, 205. You're on Real Talk with the director.
Thank you, Real Talk. I heard talking about the top five gangster films. I have mine already in the chat room.
I'd be more than happy
to read them for you.
One is
Mobsters. That's the one with Christian Slater,
Patrick Dempsey.
Playing Lucky Charles Luciano. Patrick Dempsey playing the Jewish gangster, Meyer Lansky, and two others playing Frank Costello, and the one who unfortunately would turn Las Vegas into a boom city. Bugsy Siegel, who would be the other one, like I said, the St. Valentine's Day Massacre, which comes in two versions. The one with Jason Robards as Al Capone, and the History Channel version that I mentioned.
Right.
The other one, since St. Patrick's Day is coming up, this movie is a really old one about a psychotic Irish gangster hitman known as Mad Dog Cole.
Mad Dog Cole, yeah.
You may not have heard of him. He was a bit of a psychotic Irish hitman.
The other one,
Hoodlum, with Lawrence Fishburne playing a black gangster of the 1930s. Maybe you might remember the name of that gangster.
Bumpy Johnson, right?
Yep.
Yes.
That was on last night, too. I watched it last night.
And the last one is one that recently came out. Unfortunately, I may not have the last word quite right, but it's Public Enemies, with Johnny Depp playing the role of Great Depression gangster John Dillinger.
John Dillinger.
And Christian Bale playing one of the FBI agents who they said got, despite the fact that you have someone also playing the tyrant head of the FBI, J. Edgar Hoover, telling that he thinks he's the one.
that was a good one. That was one of the more recent good gangster films. The one you was just talking about, Public Enemies. What was the other one in there? Pretty Boy Floyd gangster. He was in that. You know, the actual gangster, not the boxer. Well, he's money big. Pretty Boy Floyd was part of his crew and I think, what was the other guy? Babyface something.
Nelson. Babyface Nelson.
Yep.
Although, another one that I have, Crime Wave from History Channel, mentions a few others. But Public Enemies is the one most people are familiar with because of John Dillinger. The history one I have, Crime Wave, 18 Months of Mayhem, mentions a few others, including a gangster love couple that they made into a movie, Bonnie and Clyde.
I mean, now these are infamous gangsters. Now these are the ones you seem to be drawn to, Joseph, in my opinion. It seems like you're drawn to the ones that are like real. Everyone you mentioned are like real.
I know there have been some in the 80s and today. I know that, but those are more like biker gangs, street gangs.
Right.
Weapons at that time were weren't like the more deadly weapons you have nowadays. The ones they had, were sawed-off shotguns, revolvers, and deadly one used in the St. Valentine's Day massacre, the Thompson sub machine gun, otherwise known as the Tommy gun, the Chicago typewriter or chopper.
Let me tell you, thank you for your list, Joseph. You seem to know your gangster films, and we appreciate you always holding down the chat room. You're always in there showing us love.
One last thing. If you ever since St. Patrick's Day is coming up, I thought I'd just mention my five St. Patrick's Day movies. Of course, you already know Mad Dog Cole from the gangster movies. The other four include My Dinner with Oswald, The Boxer, The Quiet Man, and the Walt Disney classic, which I have in my DVD collection, Darby McGill and the Little People. Anyway, thanks.
Thanks, Patrick. No problem, Ted. Thank you very much for calling, as usual.
You're welcome.
Talk to you next week. 646-595-4038. I believe our other Jedi councilman is joining us right now. Kev, you're in the building.
What's good? I apologize, listeners. I just got some very disturbing family news. I have to take care of.
Sorry to hear that, man.
No death in the family. It wasn't a death in the family. It's just some real sideways crap. And the only thing I got to say is, anyway, this show is just appropriate. Let's just go on and keep the mood heavy. Let's stop on some cockroaches, which are, let's go. It's good.
Stop with your cockroaches. All right, we're going to take a couple more calls with the lines of blow it up. We're going to go, this looks like Evan Hollywood is on the line. Evan Hollywood, you there?
Yeah, what's up? Holding down in the chat room here. Just check it out.
Yes,
boy,
sir.
You gotta love Joseph Banner, right?
Yeah, he is great. The dude supports every show on Dollhouse Radio. He's one of our biggest supporters of the station, and we always really I give him his time to say what he wants to say because he's a supporter. He comes back, he listens, he
comes to every show, goes into the chat room. He does it on my show as well. So I definitely hold him down. He had a good list. Public Enemies is a great film. That was one of my more recent favorite ones. So as you know me, I had to go. I didn't want to put anything that Joseph put. So my favorite all time gangster film is Goodfellas.
Okay.
Goodfellas is my number one.
Right.
The Godfather
is
my number two. Scarface. Three. Of course, New Jack City. New Jack City. And then number
five,
Kev. Kevin, you'll probably know where I'm going with this one. The small time gangster Mongo Slave. Let's do it again.
Well,
find you in the bottom of the river in a box of cement. That's a Mongo Slave.
Now
have the money in the woman in Chicago in the morning.
The original Biggie Smalls. The original Biggie Smalls.
The original Biggie Smalls.
Yes.
Biggie Smalls and Mongo Slave.
No, you can't beat those names. Mongo Slave. If that ain't gangster, I don't know what gangster is. Awesome list. I like
That's Bill Cosby. That the classic scene when he comes into the restaurant with the shorts set on, and he makes sure he flashes the heat so they see he packing. He makes sure they know that's the first thing if you notice when he come in by himself and they all look at him like, this fool must be crazy to come up on here alone. Which one of y'all think? The first thing he do is flash the heat. Sure they know he packing. The gun falling out of his shorts. He don't care.
He didn't care. And then he says to him, he says, now, just let me just let you understand, when we lose, we pay up.
So we pay off.
Chasing you all around Louisiana.
So when we win, I don't have to chase y'all cats all around Louisiana.
It don't get no better than
that, man.
That's
yeah, that's my list, man. I got Let's Do It Again. I had to get it on there.
Yo,
that is
yeah.
That's a great list. So, as everyone heard, you can continue to go in the chat room. Tonight, he's helping us out tonight. Heaven Hollywood, who's always at the Heaven Hollywood experience, the digital experience.
Yeah.
And he's in the chat room.
I just want to say thanks for the love. I want to say real quick, just I'm glad that I got a chance to, I don't know the news that Kev got, but I'm glad that I got a chance to give him a little laugh.
Yeah, man, I needed it, man. Yo, that was funny, man.
That's what's up.
I'm going to go back to the chat room. I love y'all, man. Y'all doing a good
job. Love you too, man.
Thanks, baby. And there it is, Heaven Hollywood. We come through, showing the love. He's going to jump back on the chat room and hold it down. Leave your list in the chat room. We'll try to get them read. I tell you, the phones is lighting up. Let's go ahead. We have one Dolls representative. Let's get another one on the line. This looks like Jimmy Ace is in the building.
Uh-oh.
Jimmy Ace, Don, are you with us?
Yes, Don Clark. This is you. It is an honor and a privilege to talk to you. And may your first child be a masculine
child.
I pledge to you and Dollhouse Radio. Yes, and there you are, Don Morel. But on this show is Don with Cluck on your top. Don't ever forget that.
That's enough. Thank you, sir. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Good.
Wow.
Tomato. How are you?
Who was that dude? Wow. Yeah, Don Dollhouse. What the hell?
Yeah,
Don Dollhouse Radio. Holy shit. No. What's up, my people, man?
What's going on?
Hey,
here?
Man.
Hey, what's
going
up,
on,
man? My thoughts go to Kev. I hope everything be better for you, brother.
Thank you, man.
Yeah, because y'all keep me going when I'm feeling down. Sometimes I just want you to know that you guys are really doing your thing. So I want you all to know that.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, you've definitely entertained. Last week's show, awesome. Unfortunately, I couldn't attend because I was busy producing the Heaven Hollywood Digital Experience. Yes, I was producing the Heaven Hollywood Digital Experience, but awesome show, loved it. But let's get right to the gangster talk.
Yes, sir.
My top five. Now, I had to really think because it's really hard for the fifth one actually to put on this list because it's not on my list, but I do like King of New York. I do like King of New York.
Okay.
You ain't got to say nothing else.
King of New York.
Frank White.
Okay.
Frank
you
White.
Say nothing else.
Yes. Yes. And one underrated film that I didn't get to appreciate until I got older. I saw it in the theater when it came out back in the day, but I didn't appreciate it until I got older, is Donnie Brasco.
Yes.
Donnie
Great
Brasco.
Film.
I love that movie. But, yeah, these two didn't make on my list because you said top five. It's hard. It's really hard because I love those two movies. But I'm going to give you my five. Going from five to one, which is the way it should be. I don't know why Heaven did the other way around, but that's okay. one to five. Okay, that makes sense.
No suspense.
Okay. Exactly. No drama, no suspense. All right, so much for the drum roll. Okay. Okay, here we go. But for me, five to one. Here we go. Casino, I put at number five. And the only reason it's not higher is that it was a little too long, and if it wasn't for Joe Pesci, I don't think it would make this list. I think Joe Pesci kind of saved that movie, in my opinion.
I think Sharon Stone saved the movie than Joe Pesci.
Well, that's another good point. That's a good point.
Yeah.
Actually, right. I take that back. Yeah, both of them did. More.
Both of them kind
of
did.
Yes. Number four. Believe it or not, this might surprise a few people, but it's only because what I have in front of it. Number four, Goodfellas. At number four.
Goodfellas.
Now.
Nice.
You know.
That's early.
Am I a clown? I amuse you? You think I'm funny? Yeah. I love that
funny
movie.
How?
Great.
Funny how?
No, you tell me. You know, Henry's a big boy. You know, he could talk for himself. Come on.
Yeah.
Don't tell me. Tell me funny. What's so fucking funny about me, Henry? Come on, Henry.
Yeah, that was funny. Come on,
Henry.
Stuttering brick, yeah? I worry about you. You might fall under questioning.
Henry. Love that movie. Love that. Uh-huh. You might fall under questioning. That's why I had to catch you. All right. Number three is Scarface.
Yeah.
Put Scarface in front of Goodfellas.
Gotta put that in there.
I told you Sanitarium, not Sanitation. Okay. All right. Okay, man. Well, this town is just.
I don't even stop.
Yeah.
You fuck with me.
This town is like a great. This town is like a great big pussy just waiting to get fucked.
Yo,
so many great lines in that movie, man.
Yeah, he had so many like quotables. That was just a movie of quotables, bro.
Yes.
I was like, you know, when he said, my man said, he said, yeah, why don't find yourself one of those first class tickets to the resurrection?
Yeah.
He's just like, he's just saying some crazy stuff, man.
Have a nice trip.
Yeah, have a
nice trip. Hey, what about this
he
guy?
Said,
I've got homeboy's name. Hey, you want to come
on? One last line he says. He said, me, I always tell the truth, even when I lie.
Even when I lie.
That
was hilarious.
That's just hilarious.
See, that movie and Goodfellas, those you have to at least watch once a year. At least watch it again.
Yeah.
Well, a couple of times a year because that's how classic it is. Now, number two is The Godfather Part Two. I put that. Even though a lot of people might say Part Two is probably a little better than Part One.
Some people do. It's very good.
Some people do.
Yes, I do.
You won't get no argument out of me because some people see both movies as one movie, if you think about it.
Mm.
I remember when they came out back in the day with this VHS set, when they had it in chronological order.
I remember that.
You know how dope that was? I kind of liked it like that. It was kind of cool, kind of like that, than the original way they did it. That's like hard to find. If you don't have that, you know, you should have
to Forget about it.
Yeah, and number one, most obvious probably ever, not only greatest mom movie, but the greatest movie of all time, is The Godfather Part One. And the main reason I love it is because it's not just because it's a mom movie. A lot of life lessons is caught in there. If you really think about it, if you really listen to what they say, it's basically a book on life, on how you should do certain things, you know, how you deal with certain people and stuff like that. That's why I love it so much.
I'm going to make him an offer again with you.
That's right. Send this job over to you know.
That's what I'm talking about. Now we're gonna give you a big round of applause.
Thank you.
I'm right out the gate. I'm letting everybody know. There's no suspense here. If you've been listening to the show, I've always given my best favorite film ever. And that happens to be The Godfather.
Yeah.
So if The Godfather is my favorite film ever, we all know what number one is for me. So the only suspense now is five through two.
Two.
You know what I mean? Because everybody knows they know that, you know, number one is Godfather. To me, it's one of the best film, in my opinion, my favorite film, and one of the best American drama films ever made. But
absolutely.
Yeah, that sounds good to me, man. So,
real quickly, my Mount Rushmore of mob characters. Oh,
that's what I was about to ask you.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Now, number four, I have it 4-1. I did it like this for my Mount Rushmore. I have number four, Michael Corleone, as number four. Number three, I have Sonny. You have to put Sonny in my book because even though he got killed early, great character, you know?
He was a good character.
Yes. And
Sonny Corleone.
Yes, Sonny Corleone. Too bad he died early. It would have been interesting if he didn't die in the toll booth with 100 billion rounds of bullets in him with Tommy guns. Number two, Tommy DeVito, Joe Pesci character in Goodfellas.
Yeah.
Definitely on that Mount Rushmore. You have to put him on there. And the number one, the George Washington of this gangster mob Rushmore is Tony Montana, man. That's what I think, Mike. Numero uno.
Tony Montana is definitely one of the most favorite, definitely the most one of the most quoted gangsters, one of the favorite gangster characters. Although his character, the funny thing is, he is one of the favorites. He's number one on your Mount Rushmore, and he's a fictional made up character.
Yeah.
So, which is, you know, a lot of top, like, as we know, Joseph Tanner called in and he gave his list, which were all, he didn't give his Mount Rushmore, but he gave his list, but they were all real gangsters, real people.
Yeah.
You know, infamous.
I did think of Henry Hill for a second, but then how can you put him and not put Joe Pesci? You know.
Yeah, well, number one, you can't put him because he's a rat.
Yeah, I know. That's the main thing, too. That's another thing, too. He's a rat. Yeah,
he's a rat. That's why you can't, to me, I can't say, well, even though there was a film, like a documentary about him, but like, let's just say, if you say Sammy the Bull, you can't say Sammy the Bull. He's a rat.
No, that's another one. That's a good point.
He's a rat.
You know what I'm saying?
That bastard.
So, you can't, I mean, I love the film. I loved his character in the film, but at the grand scheme of things, you can't put him on Mount Rushmore because he's a rat.
No,
so.
That's a huge point.
Yeah.
Huge point.
Well, good stuff, man. I mean,
yes. I'm on my way.
Thank you, man.
I'm out of here. Yes. Because you know what? I have is my balls and my word, man, and I don't break it for nobody. Okay.
You don't break it for nobody. Thanks again, Jimmy Ace in the building.
Later, everybody.
Producer.
Later. I appreciate y'all.
Thank you.
All right,
man.
Adios.
That's funny. So, yo, that's what this is the list. I'm feeling them. A couple people texting me some lists. I'm like, call up, man. Stop texting me. Call up.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Or at least go in the chat room and give it. I mean, but, all right. Well, I guess what we'll do in between time here. We will get to our list. We'll start with the top five. Then we'll come back around and do Mount Rushmore. Give ourselves some time to think it over, but even though we had all week to think it over. So, I'm like, yeah, we had our week anyway. Let's start with Kev. Kev? Right.
That's me.
Oh, that was you, Droid.
So finally, I know who it is who's phoning in the background. It's going, Droid. I've been wanting to know
Droid,
that since, like,
I'm
forever.
Like, no, you got to save
that's me. No, that's Ralph. That's Ralph.
Ralph, you got to save that one for Star Wars week, Droid.
All right,
so,
here we go.
Kev, go with your top five.
Yeah, I'm going to keep it short because the show is so hot. I'm not taking up no time. I'm just going to run through it. First up. It's a tie. I'm going from 1 to 5. I got to start at the top. Starting it off, it's Bob Ford. Tony Montana. Scarface.
All right.
That movie did it for me. I'm so glad that I saw that in the movie. 3 times for 3 hours and then watch it on videotape like 50 million times for 3 hours. Next up is my boy Jimmy Jump, King of New York. Yo. Yo, the movie was just dope altogether, with Lawrence Fishburne, and it's just crazy. Not Spoony G. What's his name? It's not Spoony G. It's the other dude. What's his name? The does Gucci Time.
Who you said does Gucci Time?
Yeah, Gucci. Looking at my Gucci, it's about that time.
That's Spoony, yeah.
Is that Spoony G?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Well, and using my Spoony G to set that off. Next up is Untouchable. Yo. Wes, we talked about this last night. Yo, it gets no better than this. Yo, when he grabbed that bat and started walking behind Casper's table, yo.
They was all nervous. But it's picture yourself in this. Get yourself in this situation. You're sitting at the dinner table. He's walking around. He's got a bat in his hand. You know that they just got alcohol bust raided. So people are in trouble right now. And he's walking around with the bat in his hand. You can't. What can you do, really? You can't get up and walk away because then you got a whole room of people that's going to come after you. You know, so you can't do that. They'll all stomp you out.
And you're not trying to eat with a fork in your mouth, and then you get busted in the back of the head and stab yourself in the throat. You know,
so exactly. You're like, and anyone in that room could have been held responsible because it was a whole chain of command. But he went after the dude who actually was there when they
and
raided
didn't do
him.
Nothing.
Yep.
All right, so the guy that didn't do jack.
Yeah.
Yep. Okay, go ahead.
All right. Next up. Is In Too Deep. And I know a lot of people ain't going to agree with this. But I don't care. Because you know what? I'm God. Yo.
You put Nello and Cool J up there? Wow.
Yo, listen. Yo, let me tell you something. Yo, LL killed that. Yo, he murdered that role. Yo, when he beat that dude with the pool stick on the table, yo, he went in.
Uh-huh.
Like, I thought he was thinking about Kool Moe Dee when he was beating him, honestly.
Oh, wow.
He beat the life out of that dude on the table.
Oh, my God.
Next up, my next up is my last five also was kind of sort of a tie. And so one of them, I'm just going to make an honorable mention. First up was Hoodlum with Lawrence Fishburne. I just love him as a gangster. His character was so deep, and just I just love that movie. I love the way they shot that movie, the way it was filmed, the way the characters were. It was just, you really felt like you were back in that time, and it really engulfed you, and it was kind of emotional. I like that film. And
that was on
movie.
Last night. I was sitting up there watching it again.
Oh, wow.
No, and I just thought it was funny that, you know, because the character Bumpy Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
There's a scene like where he's sitting there, he's talking to Clarence Williams III, right?
Mm-hmm.
But later on, American Gangster, Clarence Williams III is playing Bumpy Johnson. It's like,
Johnson, yeah.
Yeah, that was pretty ironic.
Yeah, it was. So funny. And then my last one, which is not really my last one, is Carlito's Way.
Ooh,
yo,
that was really good.
I just love that movie, man. Just the way he was. And technically speaking, it's not really a gangster film per se,
right.
But just the type of dude that he was, you know what I'm saying? Just the type of dude his character was. You just got that feel like he wanted to let the game go. It was just that struggle. That's what I liked about it, and that's why I put it on my list as a gangster film, is because of that struggle. Because in just about a lot of gangster films, most of them had lead gangsters. At some point, they want to get out. They got an end game to where they want to get out. And something always happens to pull them back in, and they never get out. So that's
what
my
happened to
really
my man Michael Corleone. My man Michael Corleone in Godfather 3. Just when I thought I was out, they pulled me back in. That was funny. He knew right there. He had to get back into it. Yep, that's a good list, Kev. We'll come back around for you to do your Mount Rushmore of gangster characters. So, Ralph, you're up.
Wow, man, I'm intimidated now. I don't know what to say. Actually, I want to ask a quick question before we go to my gangster list. Let's talk about all subject. We all know about what happened this last week with I was talking to my friends about this weekend. We all know what happened last week with what's his name, Robin Thicke. He had to pay up that money for the Blur Lines video. So I started saying, what do you feel? If you were Robin Thicke, which would you rather lose, the $7.4 million or Paula Patton?
$7.4 million. Easy.
Exactly. Exactly. I'm losing the money. I can't get another Paula Patton. I'm sorry.
Ain't
I seen that up close. And you ain't giving up Paula Patton. I'm sorry. You was a dumbass.
He ain't getting nothing better than that either.
Exactly. Well, yeah, you could, but, you know, I ain't going to say he's going to give you exactly what Paula gave
you. No, he ain't getting nothing better than that. Yeah, you can,
true.
He won't. But anyway, go ahead.
All right, but my top five gangster movies, right, I'm putting at number five, The Untouchables. Got to put that out there, you know. My number four is going to shock people. It's an older movie, The Public Enemy with James Cagney.
Oh, the original one, yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's got one of the most famous scenes where he smashed the girl in the side of her face with the grapefruit. Mm. You forget about that movie because it was so long ago in that time, all those older guys like Cagney, Bogart, Powers, they were all playing gangster movies. But now with the modernization, and also because, you know, that stuff really isn't shown anyone. You seem to forget about them. But James Cagney, man, like he is on my Mount Rushmore of people that are playing gangster characters. I mean, he played a lot.
And
he's had two of the most memorable, if not roles, two of the most memorable either lines or actions in the gangster movie. So that's my number four. My number three is Goodfellas. I'm sorry. Okay. There's just so much good in Goodfellas. Joe Pesci running amok. Everything about Goodfellas is great. And it's actually a conversation I keep having with a friend of mine, which was better, Goodfellas, Casino, or The Departed? And she was saying Casino, and I was like, no. No. Goodfellas.
No, it wasn't better than Goodfellas.
It's Goodfellas.
Yeah, it was good, but it wasn't better than Goodfellas.
Nah.
Definitely.
Nah, I mean, come on. He's saying, yo, let's give me a cup of coffee. Where were your girls? Oh, man, I don't know. Pow!
Yeah.
Oh, no, where my bitch at? I don't know. Pow! He did. My number two is The Godfather.
Yeah.
Everything about that movie, the cinematography, the acting, the direction, even the length, perfect. Perfect, and it sucked you into the story. You really believe that the Corleones was a real family, that not just in crime, but they were a family, and that everybody looked out for one another. And Marlon Brando had one of the classic roles of all time as the Don. You know, that he didn't say much, but everybody feared him. Everybody feared him. Even his kids, to a degree, feared him. You know?
Yeah, they did. But, you know, that's true. They did.
Yeah. My number one, I know people are going to say, nah, it's not. But realistically speaking, my number one is Heat with Al Pacino and Robert De Niro. There is just something about that movie that I don't care what time it comes on. I don't care where it is in the movie. I just sit there and watch it. But that movie, because it's giving you, at the same time, it's giving you this crime drama about this crew of robbers, but it's showing you the flip side of this crew of cops trying to stop them and how they're how the each top guy in each part is matching each other toe for toe for toe, blow for blow for blow. And
definitely one of my favorite films.
And just the meeting alone of Pacino and De Niro when they're sitting there and they're talking to the, like, regular dudes. I mean, it's got, like, so much more going on to that. I mean, you're looking at the Dons themselves And if I'm pretty sure that that was the first time they have ever been on screen together at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Couple of Normal Guys. I think that was the name of the scene, actually. It was called Couple of Normal Guys or Two Regular Guys. Like, we're sitting here talking like a couple of normal guys.
Yeah, like a couple of Joes, you know, over a cup of coffee. Yeah. And then he's even telling you, he said, listen, I might like you, but if it's between you and somebody you got a widow, brother, you are going down. He said, well, listen, there's two sides to that story. What if you get my way and I got to put you down? Cool. It's like, and then how they ended it where they're looking at each other with like this real deep look, but they're smirking at each other too. Like, it's like, I'm really liking you and I don't want to hurt you, but I will if I got to.
Well, I have to. That's what it is. He's like, yo, that's what he said. Never be with anybody that you can't leave in 60 seconds when you see the heat coming around the corner.
Yep.
Like, yo,
that's the discipline. That's the discipline.
That's really, oh, so you can leave this and you see me coming around the corner? That's the discipline.
That's the discipline. You know?
Yeah, but I have to say that was a great film, man. I love that film. You know, to me is one of the best cinematic scenes in filmmaking with those two powerhouses and who've been in films before together but never on screen together because they were in The Godfather 2 together, but they didn't play. They never got a chance to be on the same screen because one played young Vito Corleone and Michael Corleone. So, yeah, they were both in The Godfather, but they were never face-to-face. They were never on screen together. And that, I'm going to be honest with you, the expectation leading up to that scene, and then when the scene started, you didn't know who to root for. At the end of this, that's how good it was. You're like, oh, man, who am I rooting for right now? And my favorite, and my boy Bruce Penn always loved his favorite part of that movie is when he's like, I know what they're looking at. You want to know what they're looking at?
The LAPD.
He says, yeah, motherfucker.
And what did he do when he put the binocular, when he put the camera down? He's smiling at him. No, and you're just seeing like,
he's like, we just been made, gentlemen.
see that these two guys, the cop and the robber, they're on the exact same wavelength. They're saying, you may be watching me. You may know what I'm going to do, but guess what? I'm going to do it anyway, but I already know what you're going to do. No, they just had this mind. The Godfather up until that point, he takes the place. But since then, and there have been in more gangster movies since then, I just have never seen one to really bring out that kind of intensity that Heat does. The only one I think might come a little close to it, and I might be biased, maybe American Gangster. I love American Gangster. You know,
I really like it too. I mean, I have a couple of honorable mentions. But, you know, that would probably be that. American Gangster did not make my list, but it's definitely one of my favorite more recent ones, along with Public Enemies. I like films that are going to tell you, tell a good story and tell you stuff. If it's a film about a real person, it's got to tell me their story. I want to know about them. You know what I'm saying? And that's what American Gangster did. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It told you story about them, and I mean I was trying to. It's hard to get these sound bites nowadays, man. I was my favorite scene from that is when he goes to see Nicky Bonds, and he's like at his club, and he's talking about diluting the brand. He's like blue matching is a brand.
It's a product.
That's what it is. I thought product. It's a band. I stand behind it. I guarantee it.
It's like
you
Coke
go take
Pepsi,
my product and chop it up. You know, he's like, it's like Pepsi. It's a brand. You take my product and chop it up one, two, three, four times and still call it Blue Magic. That is copyright infringement. Yeah. He's like, no. He said, what do you want me to do? Change your name? Yes, I'm going to
I insist.
You change your name. said, okay, I call it red magic. He said, look, I don't care what you can put a chokehold on it and call it blue dog shit. I don't care. Just don't call it red magic. Yeah. He said, yo, this dude got pissed off and said, listen, infringement, insist. I don't like these words. He's coming up at me, Frank, up in my damn club without an invitation. He said, you know, that was good. So that whole scene was cool because the part where Nicky Barnes never backed down to Frank Lewis because they were, you know, they're real people. They were us at the same time. And Nicky Barnes was a big dude on his end, and Frank Lucas was big on his end. But Nicky, you know what I'm saying, like even in one of the documentaries that I saw with the actual Nicky Barnes, he talked about them. He said, yeah, they was gangster. They was doing their thing. The country boys, he was calling them. The country boys came from down here doing their thing in Harlem. He said, but then, he said, them niggas never wanted to end with us. That's what he said. That came from Nicky Barnes himself. So that's a good film. Honorable mention. So that's your five, right?
That's my five. Now when it comes to people, the Mount Rushmore, that's gonna be a little different.
We'll come back around. Yeah, I gotta ask
one question though. One question. No, we're sitting around, we're talking about gangster movies, you know. Where, even though he was never in the movie, where do we put The Sopranos into this? Like, are they even a consideration? Because, I mean, it was a TV show, but it was feature length quality that it was done in.
Yeah, and it really did bring a lot of people in to the American mafia family thing, and you know, people were, I mean, it went on for quite a few seasons on HBO. It was a big hit. I'm not sure where it fits, but it definitely gets in there. I mean, because there's not a lot of gangster mafia shows that came. I mean, they had some throughout the years. Then you got The Sopranos, you got Boardwalk Empire. So there's a few of them, but that one really kind of helped sensationalize, if you will, that whole mafia thing. So I don't know. We got a caller. We're going to take a caller before I get to my list. The 305 area code, 748. You're on the air with Real Talk.
What's going on, people? You know who this is. This is Cobra Commander.
Cobra! You gotta get that sound bite when he calls in.
Yeah, we got. Yeah, I'm gonna get you that. I gotta get that sound bite. Cobra. La, 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 la.
What's going on, people? Y'all in my wheelhouse here. I love good gangster movies. I'm gonna give you my quick top five, and I'm gonna tell you why. Now y'all gonna get argue with me. Number five is The Godfather for me.
Whoa, okay. Five.
Number five is The Godfather for me because I'm an old school cat. Number four is Angels with Dirty Faces. It's an old Humphrey Bogart gangster movie back in the day.
Okay.
Number three, I'm a fan of Empire Boardwalk. Just a fan of that show. I can't remember. Right. My number two used to be back in about the early 80s. It used to be a TV show about the mafia. It used to come on regular TV. I forgot. Ray DeLuca used to play in it. I forgot the name of it, but that's my number two because that's kind of turned me on to the American mafia. And I'm going to have to go with my number one. A lot of people are going to disagree with me. It's Sopranos. And I'm going to say why. Yeah, my number one, the Sopranos, the TV show, really dove into the lifestyles of these cats. It really let you know what these people were really, how they really think. The Godfather was a little sensationalized, and I kind of put that on five because they did the two and three terribly. So it kind of made it go drop down for me. Two and three was terrible to me. So that's why I dropped down a little bit low. But the quality of actors that was in The Sopranos and – any guy that would walk around named Big Pussy definitely deserved to be number one. You know, any dude that walk around his gangster name is Big Pussy
deserves to be number one in my mind. Am I for real? Am I right? No.
That's a good case.
You know,
that's a good case.
You know you're a badass dude, when your handle is Big Pussy. So it was just the thing about it is a lot of you, I know you all were hitting at a lot of modern day gangsters, and I can't deal with whoever mentioned Nicky Barnes and that documentary with Nicky Barnes. Nicky Barnes was a gangster, don't get me wrong, but he got straight booty because somebody fucked his girl. He just went to that's basically the main purpose. He was just snitching on everybody because somebody screwed his chick. Well, dude, you in jail.
Yeah.
What you expect?
That was right.
You know, it wasn't that they called him up. They had him on. They got him in jail. He was going to snitch on his crew to his girl bump with another dude. That chick got to eat. You know the deal. When you gone, she's going to juggle balls to survive. That's the name of the game.
Juggle balls to stay alive. Oh my!
It's just the name of the game, Papa. He juggle balls to stay alive. That's real talk. You know, so the thing about it is,
that's crazy. Yeah, he went out. He went out the wrong way.
He went out the total wrong way. Now he's living up in some suburbs somewhere, hiding from his original crew. You dig what I'm saying? He's still hiding like a coward. You know, at least with Frank. Frank, when Frank snitched, he snitched on the crew. He snitched on everybody that was a cop. He snitched on all the cops. One of his crew went in. They called his crew, but he snitched on the people that he didn't give a damn about.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's true.
So that was dope about Frank, you know. My thing is this, is gangster movies don't go like they used to. I'm looking for a real good gangster movie. And if you want to give an honorable mention, let's give a real honorable mention to my man, Nino Brown from New Jack City. Y'all don't label a gangster.
Yeah.
He was a gangster movie. That you know, it was a very gangster movie. It was literally a black gangster movie. You know?
It was.
It was the New Jack Cities. And, you know, that would really put the premise on the modern-day crack dealer gangsters back in the
80s and 90s. I'm going to put it like this.
Mm-hmm.
If any of y'all ever walk through Red Hook, and we're not including you, Cobra Commander, I know you're not a fan from New York, but if any of y'all walk through Red Hook in the 80s, if any of y'all walk through East New York in the 80s,
mm-hmm.
you knew what it was with New Jack City. Even though New Jack City was based where it was based out of,
yep.
still, if you walk through Brooklyn or the Bronx, especially South Bronx, anyway, I'm just saying.
In the 80s, I'm going to go even so far because I used to go up there and visit my aunt. In Orange, New Jersey.
New
Jack City, literally. It was a war zone back then. You know, it was like, hey, it was literally that people were telling their kids, hey, honey, okay, you got your book bag, you got your lunch, you got the bulletproof vest, have a good day. You know, it was literally like that. It was literally like that back in the 80s. You know, and so it was like we used to go up there. I told my mom one time, she put us up there for the summer. She was like, did you ever? Hell no. They'll send me back up there. I'm like, back up there for the summer. What the hell? I told her, you must not love me. You're trying to get insurance on a nigga or something. What the hell? You send me up there. And I lived in Chicago. And I was like, no, I feel suffer over here. No, send me up there. Then she decided to send me to my other aunt. Which in the 80s, I'm like, okay, we go to it's California. Well, she didn't happen to mention this bitch live in Compton. So where is this goddamn gangsters like that? So the thing about it is, it's just, you have to understand, it's no real, I'm waiting for the person to put out the real gangster movie again. I mean, the real good gangster movie. Go deep into it, you know.
It came out. It was called The Wire.
Baltimore. Baltimore was a good. Yep, that's a good armor.
Yeah.
The Wire was an excellent show.
Baltimore, definitely.
They're gangsta over there. Me and my brother were talking about they're actually finally making a film about one of the most gangster people that has ever walked this planet, and they're finally making a film about it that's going to be starring Catherine Zeta-Jones, actually. All right.
Not the cocaine cowboy girl.
Yeah, exactly.
Cocaine.
No,
Blanca.
You know what I'm talking about.
Blanca. Blanca was a beast. She was a beast. Miss Eve. I'm
going to
tell you like this. I'm going to tell you. Listen, the godmother. The godmother of cocaine. I'm going to tell you like this, and I'm going to say this in all honesty. You could talk about Frank Lucas. You could talk about Nicky Barnes. You could talk about the fictitious parents of the Gambini family, but no one was more gangster than this chick from Miami. Blanca was the truth. She was the truth. And if she had a problem with your ass, she didn't eliminate you. She eliminated the whole family. She was the one that brought the machine gun into the light. They were coming down here and machine gun whole mall for a motherfucker. She was the truth when it comes to gangsters.
No, she was the funny thing was that down there she wreaked havoc. She was up here. She was all over in Columbia.
Yeah.
Like it was wild out right there.
Even the way she died. She was 60 some years old and somebody capped her ass from the back in a goddamn grocery store in Columbia. That's how scared they was. They wouldn't even do it to her face. They hit her from the back. And she was an old woman by then. She was an old woman. That's how scared this. Let me put it to you. See, I'm down. I'm from down here. I live down here. Let me say this. I live down here. You know, you a gangster ass chick when you make policemen in Miami quit their job, fuck a pension. This bitch is gunning down motherfuckers. They literally went and got motherfuckers out the street to be cops because all the real cops like, fuck this, I ain't dying for this job. They quitting. They were quitting.
Wow.
They were quitting. They had dude that was like 19 years in. He was like, fuck this. He came in and gave his badge like, nigga, I got two kids. Fuck this. They was giving up. They literally had an application at one point down here in the 80s and 90s. It was so bad. They literally put anybody who had, if you had one felony and you were willing to be a goddamn cop, come on in. We're giving out badges like Tic Tac. That's the way it was because 80% of the police guard quit down here. Just quit.
Wow. They were scared. And that's from someone who's from down there. Me and my brother were talking about this. As a matter of fact, you know, he's holding down the chat room, Heaven Hollywood. He put his hand up again. I'm going to bring him back in because he wanted to chime in on that particular subject before we move on to my list. Heaven Hollywood is on the line.
Yeah, real quick. I'm glad y'all brought up because, you know, that's my tick right there. So I was waiting for this movie. You know, everybody, when she was alive, everybody, this is how bad it was, and I'm going to echo Cobra Commander. They were too scared to even make a film about this bitch. They had no reason until she died.
What it was, because they were terrified to make a movie about this whole
thing. They were terrified. Yo, chick was the first of all, she was the first cocaine trafficker from Columbia to enter the United States. She came into the United States, her and her husband, with $21,000. In 30 days, the bitch was a millionaire. In 90 days, she was a billionaire.
You know, old boy, you talk about Ricky Freeway Ross, the guy that was his supplier, was getting the shit from Blanca down here.
Yeah,
he was getting that shit from her.
Let me tell you something, man. This chick, she had the greatest, and they better put this in the movie. She had the greatest quote to me ever. She said, "I am the baddest bitch to ever take a breath of life."
Yep.
And
wow.
And
wow.
I'm telling you, and this is the truth.
Well, I'm going to go even further. Heaven, you quote me if I'm lying. When she said that quote she gave to her, when they would call herself investigating, when she did a hit. Not just a hit. She told him, "I'm doing a hit on the governor of goddamn Florida," and she did the hit. They missed.
Yeah.
She did the hit, and they motherfuckers said on the DEA, the FBI, and everybody said, "Well, investigation over." She said, "Like I thought, bitches, like I thought."
She got put up. Before I go, real quick, she got put up in jail. They had her on accountable and had her hands in, and she was offing people. She wasn't having minions off. She was offing motherfuckers herself. She's called La Madrina, the black widow. She offed her husband. They said, if you made a deal with her, and you didn't have her money, she killed you. If she made a deal
herself.
With you and she didn't want to pay you, she killed you.
Yeah, she killed you. If you... She was the type of chick, if you she went to the goddamn Mickey D's and you didn't put the special sauce, she's shooting everybody up in the goddamn Mickey D's. I'm serious.
She was the most gangster. It don't get no gangster than that. I mean, to the point where, like my brother mentioned, and I'm one of them. Niggas was not trying to even make films about this chick. Because if you didn't get it right, she probably was
going to
kill
him. She was the one. I'm going to go quote your brother. Your brother said she was the baddest bitch to take a breath of life. She also made the quote that she was in Colombia, and when they were talking about doing a film on her about 10 years ago, she said, you know, if you do a film, if you don't do it right, she told the goddamn producer, I know some people that will kill you for a burrito. What?
Wow.
Bitch. I know some people that know some people that will kill you for a burrito.
Yeah, man.
Needless to say, that motherfucker.
Know some people that know some people that will kill you for a burrito. Oh my god.
And then that nigga said, you know, that nigga said he put that movie on the shelf. We ain't not gonna do that right there.
Yep, exactly.
And she was an old woman in Colombia. She was an old woman in Colombia with no power, and she still people whisper her name down here to this day, and the chick is dead.
And I'm
going
to be honest with you,
dead.
That's probably why they took so long in the first place. I don't know what the reaction is going to be to, you know, Catherine Zeta-Jones because
yeah,
she's not
Catherine
Colombian.
Yeah, Catherine Zeta-Jones ain't even Colombian.
She's not Colombian.
See, to me,
I
think
I
my
why.
Girl, what's her name, that be on Modern Family should pay her. She got it.
Oh, yo, if she
Sierra Viaga, she got it.
Oh, my God.
She
yo,
is Colombian. She
yeah.
is Colombian. And here's another thing, and I tell you this, and people to talk bad about Blanca, people say she wasn't a good person. Miami, South Beach, Miami, as you know it today, would not exist if it wasn't for Blanca, because she was buying and building high towers down this bitch. She made Miami what it was. The reason they chose to do Miami Vice, because she was making it so gangster on the news and all that, on Life magazine, on Time magazine. They came down here and did a movie about it. They came out here and did a TV show, because it wouldn't, Miami would not have the money it has today if it wasn't for Blanca.
Wow. That's some
Blanca
crazy
put
stuff,
everybody
man.
On. She put that's, everybody that's, on.
She, I'll tell you right now, my brother and I, we were talking about doing this, and I'm like, man, I always wanted to, you know, I can't wait to the film. I hope it's done correctly, but we're gonna.
They gotta
you know,
give her
I'm
justice,
gonna,
though.
I'm gonna get to my
hope,
list, and we
I hope
thank
Captain
Lita
got
brother.
Some good life insurance because she still knows some people.
Oh,
they fucked up. Captain Zeta might come up missing, you know. But I'm out, y'all. Y'all have a good night, man. Y'all have a good
too,
night.
Man.
Thanks a lot. Total Commander and the Pelican. And of course, I'm Hollywood holding down the chat rooms. And he had to chime back in because that's how ill this woman was, man. She
man.
Was ill. And on that note, I'm going to go ahead and jump into my list, and then we'll come back around and do the Mount Rushmores. So, my list. Everyone knows what my number one is. There's no suspense there. It's The Godfather. But my number five is Mobsters. And the reason why is because, like I said, if you're going to do a film about a particular real character or person, then tell me some stories about it. And Mobsters told you the backstory in the start. Of Lucky Luciano, how the commission got started. You know, Lucky Luciano, Maya Lansky, and all of them. You know, just like Joseph Tanner mentioned on his list, and I agree with him. I think Mobsters was a good film. That's my number five. My number four, believe it or not, is Goodfellas. It's that low, number four. Only because I just can't put it above the next couple of films that I have to say, you know, that's in between that and Godfather. And we all know, Goodfellas kind of made everybody's list almost. We know all about that. My number three, I said almost. My number three My number three is The Untouchables, starring, of course, Robert De Niro, Kevin Costner as Elliot Ness, Sean Connery. That film, once again, they win. I think there's no man alive that will capture the essence. A lot of people have played him in different films. There's no man alive that will capture the true essence of Al Capone better than Robert De Niro did. In that
nobody.
Nobody.
He gained weight for that part. He literally physically gained weight for that part.
Yeah, and he really did a really good job. Number two would be Scarface. Only because it's just one of the best films. You know, it was long, but the film went and it showed the coming. You know, this dude came from nothing. He was over here from Cuba, and I mean, I loved the film. It was done very well. Very well done film. Also, during that time when they were shooting that film, there was a lot of things going on down in Miami. Like, as Cobra Commander confirmed, it was crazy down there in the 80s, and it was flawless out there. So, I'm going to go with Scarface. We all know that Godfather is my number one. I do have a couple of honorable mentions, and that would be, I thought A Bronx Tale was a very good film.
I forgot about that.
You know, it was more like it was a gangster film, but it was more like a, you know, gangster drama film. I do have to mention The Departed as an honorable mention.
Mm-hmm.
And yes. The Departed was very, very good film. And my other film, some people may have known about it, some people probably didn't, was a film called Miller's Crossing. And Miller's Crossing.
Best scene ever. Best wimpy, crying, trying to keep alive scene ever.
Please, look in your heart. Look in your heart. And then he shoots him. What heart? You know, he's like, look in your heart. Don't kill me. He was just crying and whimpering. I mean, but there's so many good ones, man. And I mean, so many good ones. I mean, we didn't mention, well, I don't know, some people might have mentioned it. Like Kevin mentioned Carlito's Way, good film. Mentioned Heat. We mentioned Donnie Brasco, another great film. I mean, it was really a lot of them, man. But those are the ones that we mentioned, the ones that I mentioned for me are the ones that I can watch no matter what. When it comes on, I don't care what time of the day it is. I don't care how long it is. And another one that I was surprised was not on my brother's list that I do have to mention for I'm going to go ahead and start off the Mount Rushmores, because my Mount Rushmore of gangsters is Kaiser Sose, which is Usual Suspects. Usual Suspects was a very good. It was an excellent film. It's probably one of my brother's favorite films. I remember when he put up his list of favorite films, and Usual Suspects was one of them. But that's an honorable mention. But since I'm going into my Mount Rushmore, I got to put Kaiser Sose on Mount Rushmore. he's so bad that he was like a spook story to the gangsters.
Yes.
So it's like
the gangsters were scared of the ultimate gangster.
Yeah, exactly. And that was kind of so. And they like you said, they used to scare their kids at night. You better be a good, or else Kaiser Sose will get you. You know. So he's on there. I'm also gonna put, of course, Al Capone has to go on there. I think Al Capone, Kaiser Sose, Tony Montana, just like Jimmy A said, he's got to go up there. And I was wrestling with, should it be Vito Corleone or should it be Michael Corleone? I kind of feel bad by putting Cal Pacino's face up there twice, but Vito Corleone is the godfather. We know that. But Michael Corleone killed his brother. He killed his own brother. Had him whacked because of, you know, he put himself in danger. He put his family. That's a cold-hearted SOB. He had his brother whacked. I mean, how can you not put him on Mount Rushmore? Michael Corleone. So, I mean, you can go Vito. Vito is good, but Vito was always about family. He would have never hurt one of his sons or his brothers or anything like that. He was a family-driven dude. Michael, when you think about it, from where he came from, he wasn't really a big family-oriented, because he was distant from the family. You know, he went to the army, and he came in late into the family business. He was never really, you know, he loved family, he loved his family, but he was not really big like that as a family man. He didn't really spend time with his kids, you know what I'm saying? Like, he loved his kids, but he didn't really spend time with them, you know what I'm saying? So it's like, oh, and then, you know, the part where, and I'll tell you right now, that has got to be one of the best slaps I've ever seen in a movie, when he slapped the stew out of his wife when she told him that she aborted the child because he thought she lost the kid. And she said, it's a, you know, that epic little rant. I aborted your child. It was a son. I would never bring another son into this world because this all has to end. He's like, what? This dude came from Mississippi with that slap. He slapped the stew out of her. And that was it. He cut her off, and it was done. The dude was cold-hearted, man. He didn't care. And this dude, think about it. He had all the heads of the five families murdered while he was at a christening. He waited till his mother died before he decided to kill his brother. He planned that years before it even happened. He was like, I don't want anything to happen to him while my mother's alive. That's what he said. Not just by me. Don't let nothing happen to this dude, because I'm going to be the one to kill him. That's ruthless. That's ruthless. So for me,
killed his sister's husband.
Killed his sister's husband without even thinking, even though he should have did that, because his sister's husband was the reason why Sonny was murdered.
But he did that basically in his own backyard, not somewhere else. He did that in the backyard. It's like, damn, where anybody could come out there and saw.
Yeah, it was like, yo, you give him. That is the funniest thing. When they give you that stone, I remember Richard Pryor had a joke about it. I don't remember how it went, but when the gangsters give you that stone cold look, like they gave to Tessio, when he was like, hey, Tom, can you help me up? Can you get me off the hook? Boy. Abe Vigoda, he said, Tom, can you get me off the hook for old time's sake? Tom just looked at him like, dang, you messed up. He just said, yo, can't do it. And I tell you, man, he was, you know, like I said, Michael was really going to, you know, going off. So that's my Mount Rushmore. We'll move on to Ralph. Come back with your Mount Rushmore. We'll let Kev close it out with his.
All right, I know everybody is going with the roles. I got to go with the actors that I feel should be on the Mount Rushmore. But I do have five of mine on the top five, but I want to give an honorable mention to one person who really wasn't a gangster, but I just felt that this person personified just someone that, not even a gangster, but someone that just don't care would do. I got to give it up for Queen Latifah and set it off for the role of Cleo.
Yes.
I have to give her. I have to give her.
Oh, my God, yes.
But she wasn't no gangster, but she was.
No, she was not.
But she wasn't a gangster.
but she personified what a gangster would do.
The last 15 minutes of that movie, she stole the show. The last 15 minutes of the movie, it was her movie. She stole.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was it.
So
yeah,
I had to give her
movie at that point.
Yeah, I had to give Dana an honorable mention for the role of Cleo. You know, Cleo just didn't care, but she
at
was
all.
Just raw dog. But
yeah.
I'm going to – these are the actors who I think deserve to be on that top five for whatever – in that Mount Rushmore. My number five would be Christopher Walken. And because he's played a gangster more than once, a lot of people saw him in The King of New York, but I think fewer saw him in True Romance. Which
yeah,
if you didn't, you should have seen that one.
Yeah.
You should have seen him in True Romance.
Written by Quentin Tarantino.
Yeah, he was like, when he punched the guy in the head, he was like, you feel that? You feel how it feels? When you know you get all that stinging in your head, that's as nice as it's going to get with me right now.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, whoa.
Yeah.
My number four would be definitely Wesley Snipes in New Jack City. He deserves to be in that role. That's right. Because, uh-huh. like you said, he hates these pretty motherfuckers. Hates
uh-huh.
them.
That's right. Sit your $5 ass
down before
I
make change.
That's the
like,
best.
Damn.
Okay. Damn. What's number three?
My number three is once again, is James Cagney. He's
yeah.
played a lot of different gangsters in his career. No,
he made
Public Enemy, but also the other role would be in the movie Taxi, where most people know the quote, you know, where they said, "You dirty rat." No, but
you dirty rat.
Yeah, but that's the thing. He never said it in the movie. He said something different. They just changed it to that one, or even the role he did in Top of the in White Heat, where he said, "Ma, I made it top of the world," which is like
top
one
of
the most
world.
Quotable lines ever.
Yeah.
My number two actor would be Al Pacino. Whether
yeah.
you're looking at him as the Don or Scarface
yeah.
or Carlito's Way, every time he plays
even Lefty.
Even
Lester
in Donnie Brasco.
Donnie Brasco, yeah.
Every time he plays, even Big Boy Capone in Dick Tracy, every time he plays
yeah,
a gangster, it's always different. You know?
Yeah.
You know, but he just plays it with such perfection that he would have to be included on that Mount Rushmore.
Right. Yeah.
And I'm gonna say my number one guy, because I was actually torn, because I said it was either going to be Marlon Brando or Robert De Niro.
Yeah.
And the truth is, see, I'm still torn. And this is the reason I'm so torn. I'm going to go with Marlon Brando.
Okay.
I'm going to go with Marlon Brando. One, because of the role that he played as the Godfather himself.
Much memorable
but,
role, probably. Yeah.
Right. But I'm also going to throw him up there because then, many years later, when he was difficult to, quote unquote, difficult to work with, gained all that weight, he did a spoof of himself playing the Godfather in The Freshman.
In The Freshman,
so he,
yeah, I remember that.
So he kind of took like the comedic side of himself that no one had really seen and redid his most famous character and put the funny spin on it. But then you can say the same thing about Robert De Niro playing. The role in
Analyze This.
Yeah.
Does anyone ever say no to you? Yeah, sure, all the time. But it's more like, no, please, no. Sure,
so
it's all the time. It's more like, no, please, no.
Exactly. So that's what I'm saying. I'm kind of torn in between I would have to say it's a tie between those two guys because I don't know, man. It's just hard to say which one, because De Niro's played a gangster in many movies, but I think Brando's only played a gangster in two.
Right. I mean, it's your Mount Rushmore, but you got
know,
a little
man.
Too
I think
on Mount
you know
Rushmore
what?
There.
I'm all right. I'm gonna make a decision. It's got to be De Niro.
It's got to be De Niro. Forget about it, man. Forget
it's
got to
be De Niro.
You guys, that's final. Forget about it.
Yeah,
sometimes it just means forget about it.
Yeah, maybe Mean Streets, Goodfellas, Casino, Godfather 2, Analyze This. It's got to be, and Heat. It's got to be De Niro.
Yeah,
it's got to be De Niro.
Just because of Heat alone, it's got to be De Niro. Hell,
yeah.
if you take this character from What's His Face, even though that wasn't a gangster character, from Cape Fear.
Yeah.
Yeah. Bring us home, Kev. Give us that. You know,
all right.
Mount Rushmore, which
Yeah, you know, this guy has Mount Rushmore is way bigger than normal with Ralph.
Well, see, Cleo gets the statue at the base of the mountain. She gets the honorable mention statue.
And with that being said from Ralph, I'm taking a page out of Ralph's book. I don't have a statue at the bottom. I got two people guarding the bottom entrance and taking your money before you be able to get in. So I'm going to save them two for last.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
No, I'm going to save them two for last. I'll start with number one.
Okay.
My number one character is Tony Montana, Al Pacino. I mean, listen.
Yeah.
Listen, the movie speaks for itself. The movie speaks for itself. Next up is my favorite character because he was just so funny, but he was gangster. He was just straight killing people just because. Like, his famous line is, I need to sell drugs. Jimmy, you don't sell drugs. I'm unemployed. Listen, Jimmy Jump, Larry Fishburne. You know,
Jimmy
Jump. he was just crazy. He was crazy in King of New York.
Yeah.
Next up is Al Capone, Robert De Niro, Untouchable.
Yeah.
Just listen.
Wait, am I alone in this world? Or actually, what you trying to do? Actually, what you trying to do?
Yeah.
Saying. And then Carlito. And I'm going to tell you why Al Pacino was on my list twice is because for an Italian dude, he plays the best Latino ever. This dude
does. He did it with Carlito.
Yo, and he rocked that as a Puerto Rican. Yo, he killed that.
Yeah.
Now, for my gatekeepers, first up is my boy, Jeffrey Wright, as Peoples from Shaft.
Peoples. Oh, they call me Peoples. Peoples.
They call me Peoples. I like this character in Boardwalk Empire. He played a character in Boardwalk Empire, which was very, very good character. He's gangster from Harlem.
He's another one that flips it really well. I love Jeffrey Wright as an actor too. He's just awesome.
Very good actor.
My second guard at the gate, Alonzo Harris.
Oh.
Denzel Washington, Training Day.
Alonzo Harris.
King Kong.
He is a crooked cop. He was a gangster. But he's definitely a guardian because he was not a per se gangster.
He was basically running those quicks. He was running the Bloods. He was running them.
Yeah.
He had that whole cul-de-sac locked up.
Had him shook. I got cases on all of y'all. So he had him shook.
Wow. Alonzo.
Let me tell you, man, it's some good stuff. We had some great insights, some great lists coming in and out. I want to say that, everybody's list is everybody's list. But like I said, you have now listened to, in the eyes of the Jedi Council and the director, the top five gangster mob films ever. Forget about it.
Exactly.
Gotta say forget about it at the end. Everybody knows. I mean, sometimes
it just means forget about it. Thank you very much. I got it. Let me tell you something. I don't get this bow for Lefty.
Forget about it.
Forget about it.
Forget about it.
I was trying to revisit the other part where he says, he's explaining to him. He says, when you agree with something, Raquel Welch is a great piece of ass. Forget about it.
About it.
Wait a minute. So I gotta say, forget about it.
Man, forget about it.
No. You gotta say, get the fuck out of here.
Oh yeah.
You gotta say, forget about it. It's like they even have that when you leave. I don't know if people notice that when you go on the Belt Parkway and you're leaving New York, when you come out of Brooklyn, the sign says, you're now leaving Brooklyn. Forget about it. That's what it says.
Really?
Yeah. It, it, when you come in on the Belt Parkway, it's you get off the Verrazano Bridge and it says, "Well, you are now entering Brooklyn. How sweet it is." That's what it says. And then when you're leaving, it says, "You're now leaving Brooklyn. Forget about it." And so that's how famous that's become. So anyway, we are out of time, and actually a little over time, but great, great show. I want to thank all the callers, everyone that called in, Jimmy Ace, Heaven Hollywood was holding down the chat room, all the people that was in the chat room throwing stuff up there. I want to thank the Cobra Commander, who always amusing when he calls up, and he always drops some sort of knowledge on us when he calls in. Joseph Tanner, always a big supporter of the show, of all the shows for that matter. And although I'm going to say don't forget about us, we're going to go off and keep the theme going. We're going to go off with one of these. Well, I guess it'll be the Boardwalk Empire theme. Being that, you know, we didn't really mention that. I do like his character though, Nucky Thompson. That was a good character that played by Steve Buscemi. And that show was good because of, you know, all of the insight that it gave you in the background of his characters. So anyway, once again, next week, join us. This weekend coming up is going to be the 30th anniversary of The Last Dragon. We're trying to get out there and get some coverage for you guys, hopefully for Monday. If not, we'll just talk about it on Monday, maybe have a couple of guests call in. I'm going to try my best to get time off to call in. That would be awesome. And, you know, we'll talk to you guys next week. Same real time, same real channel. And for the Jedi Council and for Dollhouse Jeez. Radio,
forget about
the director. Just yeah, and I want to say you can love us, you can hate us, but don't forget about it.
Cool. I can't. I can't. I'm gonna go.